This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. Welcome back to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and this is the world championship of episodes for me, and might as well end with the amazing Kelsey Sharon. She's done things that even our Olympians, our world record holders, our billboard leading chart people haven't done. She has provided one thing to so many people on earth, and it's freedom. And I'm a big fan of the United States, and I know you've provided freedom, Kelsey, all over the world. But I do not devalue the idea of freedom. America is a place where you could be born on the streets, and I think it was said by one of our guests, and you can end up at the top of your potential. And I'm not saying the richest person in the world, although you can be in America, born on the streets. I'm talking about you, this is an area that you are given the freedom because of people like you provided freedom to pursue your potential. And I want people to think about that. People like you have put their life on the line for people around the world. And I think it's a different mindset. And you paid a price for my freedom and our freedom here. When did you make that conscious decision of selflessness to overcome the greatest fear of I may have to give my life for other people's freedom?
That would have been in 2007. Thank you for your kind words. Appreciate that. It's very kind of you. But that would have been in 2007. I was never going to join the military. That was never my path. I am an A-type personality, but I am not the one that I would have thought would have joined a police force or the service. But I met a lady on a bus. We all have those kind of moments where we look back at our life and we realize that there's a catalyst point. You can plot it on charts going backwards. So I'm able to see a little bit now. But I met this lady on a bus, and it was on Remembrance Day, which is Veterans Day as well. And I went down, I was in college, and I was on the way back, and she was sitting by herself in an Air Force uniform with just a row of medals. And if you're Canadian and you serve, we don't get medals very easily like America. We get like one and then like a number on the medal. And so when I saw that, something just pulled towards her. It was that moment when I walked over to her and I could see she had something different. And I sat down and chatted with her for a few moments. And what I realized was this woman had lived a life worth dying for. This woman was a greater good on the earth. She was alone. Something about it just made me want to do the same thing. So I got off the bus that day. I walked into the college. I quit and I said, I'm out. And I went and found the nearest recruiter's office in Ottawa and I joined the Army.
That's never happened to me before in my entire life. And as a woman sitting here, you're the only female guest we've had on the show. I'm very cognizant as I've gotten older about women in the world, in our place, being strong and powerful, also maintaining our femininity. And I'm just stunned. I met you in the green room and I'm just stunned by you. I don't even know what I want to ask because you've gone through so much, because fighting for our freedom is it's a big concept. But you did what you did. I mean, can we share with our audience? We're talking frontline.
Yes.
Explain to us and everybody watching what you really did.
So I may be a Canadian, and I know that's hard for people to wrap their brain around that we were involved in the war. So I'll give you a second on that. But trust me, I know. But at the time when I joined in 2007, the Americans and British didn't quite integrate women quite yet. So 2015-16 was when you guys started to bring women forward. I was given a unique position where I was an artillery gunner. I used to run the M777 155 millimeter howitzers. They shoot 100-pound round 40 kilometers. And so I worked with a male team. I was very fortunate to have all of them. But because of who I was and being a female, when I went to Afghanistan, I was borrowed by the British. So I shot artillery with Canadians for Americans and then was taken by the British to go be on the front lines and to be the CST, which is a cultural support team. My job was to kick the door in with the men, take the women and children to another room and search them. So I did that with the British for my operation in 2009.
How do you give me some motivation for women who are lost right now? I mean, that is a massive thing. First of all, being a woman in a man's world, you are the epitome of that. How did you function on a day-to-day basis and just manage to do what you did?
I mean, that's a loaded question. I think if you're lost right now, you're feeling stuck. The best thing that you can ever do, and I wish somebody told me, but I learned the hard way, was keep moving forward. You have to just take one step, put one foot in front of the other, and you have to keep moving because eventually it will change. It's just like emotions. They ebb and they flow. So does time. So does space and what you're doing in the world. It's not going to stick there forever, but you have to be the catalyst for change. You have to show up and you have to keep taking the steps. So keep moving forward. And if you haven't started yet, you need to start now. Whether that's looking after your health, your mindset, your body, it doesn't matter. You need to start. Stop waiting. Start now.
Before I let you go, because he's not going to ask this question, the jewelry around your neck,
yes.
Can you share with us what Brass and Unity is and why it's so important?
So Brass and Unity started in 2015 as a form of art therapy on my kitchen table. I didn't plan on having a company or jewelry business, but my doctor suggested art therapy. I did it. Took some old casings from some friends, put them into beads, and then made the jewelry. Next thing you know, by 2017, we were on Ellen's show. Kevin Hart was talking about us. And it was all because I put myself in rooms I didn't belong in. And I made people pay attention. Because what I'm trying to ultimately do is help people stay alive. And so my way of doing that is creating a product that is wearable, that is shareable. And then it is the vehicle to put the money in the hands of these organizations that are doing the hard work. I can't run a nonprofit. I'm very aware of that. Know your strengths, right? So yeah, farm it out. So for me, what I do is I am the money. I'm the money. We give it to the organizations. They make the change. They help the people. And then I get to be a part of this incredible journey of watching veterans' lives change.
So in the green room, makeup room, we had a short conversation and I said, thank you for your service. And your response was, well, do you know why you're thanking me? Because if you knew why, I don't know if you'd thank me. And you forced me to answer the question, which I said, well, you've made a decision to do something I didn't. You put yourself on your life on the line and I didn't. You've seen things that I haven't seen and you've protected things to allow us to all be here. I said, so I'm clear on that. But here's, I think, the way I want to thank you is by shining a light on maybe what the dark side that we don't want to look at, which is, I think, why you're here. Mm-hmm. There's a dark side to all of this.
Of course.
The number 44. And I guess I'd leave it open to answer why you said if you knew why, you wouldn't thank me. I think maybe there's an open door to talk about maybe the really hard reality and why you do what it is you do.
I think we stopped seeing the real reality of war when Vietnam stopped playing on the news, right? Mm-hmm. We've still had those wars. We've still had those atrocities. They've been going on. They're going on right now. They're going on in several countries all over the world. Places we say we're not there. Things say we're not doing. We're doing. We're doing all of them. But our women and our kids and our children are safe at night. So you have to look at why war exists. You have to look at what we're trying to achieve. And ultimately, war has a cost. It has a human cost, whether you're on the ground as a person in the country you're invading or as a person in the country that's doing the that's actually kicking the door in. And so ultimately, what we do in war is necessary. There are bad dudes in the world that don't need to exist. That's a real reality. But the other reality that we don't want to talk about for some reason, because it's a thing we can actually fix, is the suicide epidemic, right? We're quick to bring up everybody else and everything else and every other world except for our nations. And what are our nations going through? Well, what are we losing? We're losing women and we're losing men at a pace that's so astronomical, it's hard to wrap your brain around. By the end of this day, this beautiful day that we spent with David and your incredible people, just networking and just honestly, my heart is so full to be in this room. To be asked to be in this room is incredible. But by the end of this day and by the end of this segment, 44 people have taken their lives. Those are mothers. Those are fathers. Those are parents. You're not going to ever walk down the aisle with your father when he takes his life. Your mother's not going to exist when PTSD takes you from her. And that's a reality. And here's the thing. America and Canada and all these other nations have been involved in a 20-year war. 20 years. I joined when I was 18 years old. I am 34 right now. That means after my injury, I spent over a decade trying to get it together after just seeing what I saw for the blip of time in 6 months I saw. And your country rolls dudes out at a pace that is completely unacceptable. 18 months, 6, 7, 8, 9, 20 back to back. You don't think this is going to have a moral issue, a moral injury? The special operations community has a 94% divorce rate. Okay, these are the guys you guys hail at the top of your pyramid, your SEALs, your Rangers, your Delta boys. 94%. Who does that affect? It affects the moms, the kids. So when all of that goes away, you think dad's going to sit there by himself with his dark thoughts and all the things we've done and it not affect him at night? Moment of impulse. And then we lose another one. And then we lose another one. And it is happening. And it's growing. It's gone from 22 to 44. We're escalating. So why are we so quick to help everyone else but our people that need it so desperately? That's my mission. It's always been my mission since 2015, since the moment I picked up a pair of pliers and a casing. I want my friends to stay alive. I want them to understand that we can get through this. We just haven't been given the tools. So now up to this point, it's been pharmaceutical drugs and therapy. It's an acknowledged failure. We understand that. We're changing the game. We're taking the responsibility back into our own hands. And we're using other healing modalities. And we're not listening to anybody who says we can't anymore. We are going to exist. And we're not going to be like Vietnam and World War II, where we let our people die anymore through alcohol abuse, through drug abuse. We're not going to leave them anymore. The message needs to be that we're here, regardless of what you've done. We're going to help you survive this because you showed up for us. Now it's our turn to show up for you.
You know, when I hear that, I ask myself, what does thank you mean? And I think in this moment, the best way that we can thank you is by giving you a voice, a platform, investing, donating to the reality, but also taking a look at what we don't want to look at, mm-hmm. those of us that weren't there. We need to turn and look at what's happening. We need to look at the reality because, you know, I was, 22 pushups. We remember that went viral for mm-hmm. a long time, but now it's 44. Mm-hmm. So what is going wrong? We're not doing something right. And so I think that the best way all of us listening to this can thank service men and women is by listening and taking a look at the realities and saying, what can we do to help now?
One of the best things you can do that's an actionable item, and I encourage everybody, if you don't know a veteran or first responder, seek them out, because you'd be shocked how many of us won't tell you what we did because we're fearful of the response, especially in this political climate. The other thing, too, we have to understand is some of the strongest, happiest looking, smiley people, I think we all know the answer, right? So you need to reach out and ask, how are you doing? But mean it. Show up. Give them your time. If that means it's a coffee, if that means it's a walk, or hey, can I take your kid while you and your wife go have a date night? Just show up. It's really simple. Be a part of a community. That's all it takes. Show up. How can I help? It's not that hard.
I'll say one last thing and pass it over to them, is that you're a blessing to the servicemen and women in your ability to communicate this. And so I applaud you, and I hope that you continue pushing forward on this.
Thank you. I will. And I am only able to do what I can do because I stand on the shoulders of giants and organizations who showed up for me when I needed help, when I had no hope. People reached out and said, what can I do? How can I help? And it's the only reason I'm here.
Thank goodness for the woman on the bus.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, Melissa, you certainly are a hero as well, and most people don't know. So I'm really interested in this conversation to finish up.
I appreciate that, David. So also combat veteran myself, served over in Iraq.
Yeah.
Survived, like, say, over 100 mortar attacks. So like yourself, you are a walking, talking miracle. And you can look back in hindsight and see why you're sitting in that chair right now. Don't get emotional, because you have a voice, something that needs to be heard. But what we have in common is we both chose. We made the choice mm-hmm. to go in and put our life on the line, to put service before self, and to serve our countries, right? Easily translates over to being an entrepreneur. Again, we made that choice to put ourselves on the battlefield. We're cut from a different cloth. Mm-hmm. We get on the battlefield every day and get punched in the face.
Yes.
Different battles, right? Different battles, but the same thing. But what happens, Kelsey? What happens when the battle chooses you? Mm. When the battle chooses you, because you didn't choose PTSD.
No.
We didn't choose sexual or emotional or physical abuse. Mm-hmm. There's women and there's men right now watching this. They're going to be able to be like, hey, I've been impacted. I didn't choose this battle. I didn't choose this. What hope would you give them right now?
So there's this thing that I've had to start saying to myself as I walked through this path, because I realized the victim mentality is not going to cut it, right? It's just not going to cut it. We're cut from different cloths, like you said. This life happens for you, not to you. Everything that happens, you choose. You choose how you react. You choose how you see it. You choose what lessons come from it. When I was faced with all that, at the worst, I was on 11 different drugs. So I was 19. They gave me 11 different drugs. I'm 100 pounds. Then I was about 100. I'm like, I'm 110 now. And I wasn't choosing. I was just doing what I was told because it was the right thing to do. There was a moment when my doctor suggested cannabis. And he said, look, I know this is a stereotype, and there's stuff with it, but I want you to look at this seriously. And I did. That was the moment where I woke up and I said, I'm choosing now. I'm deciding now. It's my life. I'm going to take it. I can still have the voice. Because one of the things I did in that book I wrote was I put the voice in. you know, the voice that we all have, the thing that talks to us, what says you're not good enough, you shouldn't be in that room, the imposter syndrome, all of it, every little bit of it. I wrote every word, the nasty, the gritty. I just realized that that voice can't have a power anymore if I want to live the life that I say I want. You know, if I want to, then I'm going to have to start showing up. One of the biggest tools at my disposal that was offered to me when that I was faced with that was psychedelics. So I was offered through Heroic Hearts Project. That's by an Army Ranger. And another Army Ranger, shockingly enough, said, hey, Kelsey, it looks like you're struggling. His name is Griff. And I said, okay, so now what? And he goes, there's a retreat in 30 days. Do you want on it? There was the moment. There was the choice. Do I say I'm terrified of this crazy thing I've never heard of that you have to sit in the jungle and you apparently vomit? What? I don't want to do that. Do I run away from the fear of it, or do I lean in, because that's where the growth lies, and go, I'm going to take the risk? And I took the risk, and I went and sat with ayahuasca, with Heroic Hearts Project, and it changed my entire life. And I never went back on another pharma-med, and I never saw myself as a victim. And I said, well, I've got a few assets. We might as well lean in. What's the worst that can happen? You can get through all of this. I did a decade and a half of genuine suicidal ideation. Married, business, kid, all of it. Still didn't want to live because I wasn't doing it right. There was something I was missing. There's a greater thing. It's our purpose in this world, right? So most of us, when we leave service, we lose purpose. Mm-hmm. We lose community. We lose touch. When I was able to get the help I actually needed to heal, the one that gave me the opportunity to look inward instead of externally, right? Put all of the ownership on everyone else. It's not everyone else's fault. I chose this. My choice. Yeah, bad things happen. Okay, but does it have to be a bad thing? Or can I go, that happened. You know what I was able to do with that? I was able to help a whole bunch of dudes. I was able to grow a business. I was able to then impact the world in a different way. So it's not really that big of a deal. It's not, because the people that I lost those times that I was outside the wire and all the things that we do when we lose people, whether it's to suicide or to the actual service, do you really think that they would want us lying in bed? Do you really think those people would not be screaming from wherever they are going, you need to get up? I would kill to be there right now. I'd be killed to doing what you're doing. So you have to live a life worth dying for.
You, like, as you talk about living a life worth dying for and suicidal ideations after you got out of the military, after, what would you say was more challenging? I heard about you extracting humans and being on the front line, and being on the front line myself, when you're out there and you're literally, you can't listen to your feelings.
Well, there's no feelings.
There's no feelings. Feelings don't exist when you're on the front line, right? They don't exist. But when we get out of we leave the military, and we're faced with either its challenges being an entrepreneur or as a mother, or as a wife, and we're having these suicidal thoughts. What was the shift? What was the shift where you can go through war and make it through that? And now we're back home having these thoughts.
These thoughts come in when you're in a mundane lifestyle, right? You're in that where nothing exciting's happening, right? And that happens because our nervous system is out of whack. The thing we have to realize is we can't think ourselves out of depression. We can work really hard, but the way that you do that is by taking action, by working on meditation, by grounding, by being around the right community, because you are the sum of the five. By everything you listen to, everything you work on, it has to matter and it has to be positive. So taking those tools and using that, but also looking at your life. What are you doing? What are you doing to help perpetuate a negative mindset? For me, it wasn't like, oh, I could just think myself out of it. I needed help. I knew I had a nervous system problem. My nervous system was in fight or flight and it was stuck there and I couldn't get it out. So chaos was calm. And calm was chaos. So I had to find a way to learn how to be comfortable in the calm. And one of the biggest things I did was lean into my purpose, lean into my community. And then I started to find medicine. And when I found that the medicine for me opened up a connection and a conversation where I could actually hear outside of the medication, where I could actually hear outside of the noise of the world, and I could listen to that. I call it source. I'm a recovering Catholic. So I call it source. I call it the universe, whatever you want to call it. When you have that connection, you can have those moments of peace and you can sit in it, everything becomes crystal clear. And that's hard for people to understand because they're like, so you sat in the jungle and you did some medicine work and now you're all healed? No, no, not, no, no. I went with an intention I did integration on the front end. I did integration on the back end. And I did the steps. I did the work. I showed up every day. I did the meditation. I did the grounding. I did the journaling. I did the breath work. I did the community support. I did the Reiki. I did the everything. Everything. Because to heal from something like this, a moral injury, a real injury, whatever it is that you've got, invisible injury, you put the label. I don't do labels. You put the label. Whatever it is you're trying to heal from, you can't fully heal from it if you're not all the way in. You have to be all the way in to all of the processes and know that if you lean into them, it will get better. But it takes time and it's not linear.
Kelsey, it's interesting as we finish up. There's two things that come to mind. The first is, at a young age, you weren't afraid to risk your life. But coming back, you were more afraid of healing. And you projected that onto, I'm afraid of ayahuasca or mushrooms or marijuana, whatever it is that people suggested. You were more afraid of being healed.
Yeah.
And projected it onto, well, social media say that ayahuasca is not acceptable and people will mock you for that.
Oh, for sure.
But more importantly, I think, is the three steps that I see people who have trauma in their life and the dis-ease, physical, mental, emotional, psychological disease. And it's, we go from being that victim where I was born into a world of to me, right? Like, no matter what happened, littlest thing was, shit, this is happening to me. Like, why couldn't I have that house on the hill with two parents and, you know, not be abused or whatever it was. Then I moved to this world that you talked about to encourage people to move from to for me. Things are happening for me. And I think the realization that you're illustrating to all of us is that the ultimate goal with Source and the universe, which I believe in, is through me. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you have a business that is working through you. You have a platform with your book that's working through you. You have movies that are working through you. You have other people that have exposure and awareness and understanding and knowing working through you as well. And I want to encourage everyone who lives in the world of why me to enter the world to try me. Everything happens for me, and strive to reach what Kelsey has, this healing state. Not completely healed.
No, I don't think we're ever completely healed.
Of course not.
I think we're all works in progress, and that's the thing. There is no stage of like perfection. But I believe that as you evolve and you change, every day is different. And if you can try 1% more than yesterday, then you're always going to be on the path, and it doesn't matter.
Just spend less time at dis-ease. That's why time is my girlfriend. That's why it's my love language. It's like, I can't quantify anything with time. It's like, you're depressed 23 hours. Let's try 22 hours and 59 minutes tomorrow. It's just a matter of time until you have less time. You're depressed. Instead of saying you're not going to be depressed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For everything you do on and off the front lines. And the front lines exist here, like you suggest. So, if you want the world to run through you, remember, what can I do for you? What would it do if I helped you? Could it help you if? And also, do you know anyone that can help me? Those are two crucial questions in a world of through me. You are an icon for through me. And I appreciate you taking the time to inspire all of us. And thank you. Thank you more than just for your service. Just thank you for everything that you do. This has been a heroic episode, an unbelievable record-setting episode of Office Hours.